Jesus uses the image of us in the palm of God's hand to show how much God loves us, cares for us, protects us. And though we're cradled within his palm, wrapped around his fingers, protected from all the things of the world. But that's not the only image. Throughout Scripture, God uses many images to explain how much he protects and cares for us. He uses the image of a hen who gathers all his chicks under her wings and then covers their wings around them to protect them. He also uses battle imagery, that he sends his angels and armies after the foes of ours so that we're protected from all the harm of the world. Now, with these images in mind, we must ask ourselves, do we feel this way? Do we feel that God is actually protecting us? Do we feel like he's wrapped himself around us, keeping us from the things of the world? Or do we feel like we're kind of left to our own devices? I feel largely we pretty much think we're left to our own devices. We use this phrase like, God helps those who help themselves, or we must pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. So much of our world is dominated by what we think we ought to do. And yet that's not the image we have today. It's a very different image, an image in which God takes care of all those things. So how do we get there? How do we realize and feel the effects of God caring for us, protecting us, guiding us? Well, he instilled in us two great gifts. And these gifts I want to elaborate on to help you understand what God has given us and how to use those, put them into practice in such a way as to realize God's providence. The two are freedom and dignity. God, in his great love for us, gave us the gift of freedom. And it's a gift that's intrinsic to who we are. It's not given to us by government power. It's not given to us by some rulers. It's who we are. God made us free. And he did that with a purpose in mind. In his great hope and desire, he knew that freedom leads to truth, truth leads to love. Without freedom, you cannot love. And so his desire was that we would love him fully, and that's why he gave us freedom. Now, we like to think of freedom as though we have the ability to do whatever we want, whenever we want. Everything is at our fingertips. That's not true freedom. If we were to reflect on that, you'd know what I mean. If we could do anything and everything at our leisure, we'd get kind of bored of all of it. We get kind of caught up in all the things and lost, almost confused. But true freedom is different. True freedom is the quest to find the good. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to find the good. That if we live what was true and right and good and just, then we would be truly free. We can use and do it, deal with the things of the world without concern. All this other stuff that's surrounding us, the darkness, the chaos, the things of our world, would have no concern to us. Because we know what to do. We know what's right. We just do it. It's that simple. But more importantly, once we find the truth, then we know what it means to truly love. Nothing can bother us. Look at the great example of the martyrs, who endured such things as having bamboo needles stuck under their fingers, or having to endure tortures like being beaten, scourged, torn apart, and beheaded, sometimes even burned. Their force, their strength, their encouragement came from that sense of freedom. A freedom that no one can ever take from us because God has given it freely to us. Look at our second reading today from the book of Revelation. This is a great example. Here we have this great multitude, thousands upon thousands of people dressed in white garments. The white garments are their baptismal garments. They are washed in the blood of the Lamb, and they are truly free. How? Why? Because they withstood the time of trial. Freedom comes at a cost. It's not something we just kind of have and you enjoy it and it's done. We have to fight for it. We have to strive for it. We have to work towards it, to find truth, to find love, to truly make ourselves free. The same thing happens in our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. What was so inspiring about Christianity, what let it aflame across the whole Mediterranean world, was the radical freedom it proclaimed, an exceptional freedom, that God loves us, God cares about us, God is good. These were novel to the Near Eastern world. And so everyone felt that new life course through them, something different. And it gave them a new sense of freedom. For us, however, we tend to limit our freedom. We limit it in many ways. Fear is the most common way we limit our freedom. We are so afraid of what someone may say, what something might happen, what someone might do, what something may happen to us, that we stop ourselves. We put up barriers, we put up boundaries, we try and confine ourselves in such a way where we don't let ourselves be truly free. We're worried, we're anxious, we're concerned all the time. And so, we confine ourselves. The same thing works with our limitations and our sins. We get so wrapped up, so caught up in them, that we don't realize that God wants to forgive us, that we can let them go. We can be free in the world again. This is the radicalness of what we are, not what we believe, what we are. We are people who are free, and we need to live that, and live that in a new boldness. The other side of it, which is also who we are, is our dignity. No one can take our dignity from us. They can mar it, but that's our choice. God gave us a dignity, a very special dignity. Our dignity is a child of God, one of his cared for, his beloved, the one he adopted into his family. This is who we are. And as an early Christian homily said, Christians, know your dignity. Same thing works for us. We must realize this fact of who we are, not just live as wandering nomads or not just animals figuring things out. We are special. We are cared for. We are loved. We are made into a family. This is part of who we are. And we mar this constantly by forgetting that. We go into the world afraid of who we are, afraid of what people may think, and therefore we diminish it, degrade it, ignore it, leading us to wonder, to fight against ourselves. Who am I? Who am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to live? But our dignity is something wonderful and beautiful. It's something that's so inspiring that it caused so many people throughout the world to endure many different things. There's a great story from Russia during the Stalin regime, where Stalin made sure to eradicate all forms of Christianity, with the exception of Orthodoxy. And so there's a story of this woman who had the soldiers come to her house, and they raided it for any religious symbols. They would destroy every cross, every painting, everything. So upon coming out, they asked her, "Is there anything else?" She said, "Yes, one more thing, but you can't take it from me." And she made the sign of the cross. She understood her dignity as a Christian, that it's something intrinsic to who she is, and no one can take that away. We must live with that boldness. If we want to really feel what God has done in our lives, if we want to feel his protection, his care, his concern for us, then let's live in the way he made us. Let's live with that freedom, knowing that nothing can bother us. We are free to live to the truth, for the good, and for love of God. We are free because of who we are. We are God's children, his beloved, his cared for, the ones he watches constantly, hoping for good out of us. If we knew who we are and what we are, then we'd understand the joys of Easter, that Jesus showed us that the power of his resurrection led to new life. He showed us that the ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit gave us a character. It made us who we are. And this is what we must live. We must live our dignity. We must live our freedom as Christian people.